السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. فلا وربك لا يؤمنون حتى يحكموك فيما شجر بينهم ثم لا يجدوا في أنفسهم حرجا مما قضيت ويسلموا تسليما. صدق الله العظيم. All praise and all thanks is due only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet again giving us such a beautiful opportunity of attending the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Jumu'ah. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this, and we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala allows us to see many, many more Jumu'ahs. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allows us to appreciate this day of Jumu'ah. And we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes it such that the last day of our lives in this world is the day of Jumu'ah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that He has given us this beautiful Sharia, and this Sharia Allah ta'ala has made boundaries for it. Allah ta'ala has made a framework for this Sharia. Anything that comes into the Sharia, Sharia meaning obeying the commands of Allah ta'ala in the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will be conforming to the Sharia. And anything that comes out of this framework is out of the Sharia. Now in the time of the Sahaba, they were very, very conscious of the fact that whatever we did must be within the framework of the Sharia. There is one of four possibilities when it comes to the framework of the Sharia. There is one of four possibilities. Either a person is wholly inside the framework of the Sharia, he is conforming totally with whatever the commands of Allah Ta'ala is and whatever the commands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are. So this person is conforming totally. This is the first possibility. May Allah Ta'ala make us from amongst those people that conform totally. So this is one possibility. The second possibility is where a person is totally out of the framework of the Sharia. In other words, his life, nothing in his life conforms to the Sharia. So this is the very, very dangerous. May Allah Ta'ala save us from this. And then there's another possibility that sometimes a person, when it suits him, then he conforms with the Sharia. When it's times when he's reminded of Akhirat, or when he's going through difficult times, now we got to do everything according to the Shariat. It's very important. And when it's other times, then we're out of the Shariat. So this is another possibility. For example, December is coming, or it is now a wedding in the family, so we need to have all different types of things. So a person sees now at this time, now it's hard to conform with the requirements of the Shariat. So now a person goes out of the framework of the Shariat. And then there's a fourth possibility, which is the most dangerous possibility, is where a person is outside the framework of the Sharia, but he tries and expands, he tries and stretches the framework of the Sharia to fit the way he is running his life. In other words, to suit his lifestyle, this person now tries and expands Sharia to try and make it such that I am now he's thinking to himself that I am conforming with the Sharia. A simple example, a person knows in himself that it is not permissible for me to lend money on interest. It is haram, interest is completely haram. But now what a person will try and do, he'll stretch the framework of Sharia to see, let's see how we can call this thing a profit. Let's try and see how we can change it. I'm still going to lend the person money, but how I can call it a profit? Oh, I need to increase my investment portfolio. I need to borrow some money from the bank. I know it's not halal, but let's see how we can squeeze, or we can stretch. Not squeeze, but how we can stretch so that I don't need to adjust myself. If I'm going to borrow and I'm still going to pay, yeah, I'm calling it interest at 8%, 9%. Yeah, we'll just do the same thing, exactly the same thing. We'll call it profit. So this is a dangerous thing. Or sometimes a person, for example, he wants to go for a holiday to a place that is not permissible. But he says to himself that, you know what, Shariat, now he tries to stretch it. Shariat allows us to have some free time. Shariat allows us to do things. We mustn't be too rigid, too hard. So it's okay if we go to the resorts in the holiday time. The fitna is not so bad. One person this week told me something that made me think more than smile. But he said, I just got back from an exotic resort. I went for a holiday overseas to an exotic resort. But I make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fitna wasn't so heavy. That was his words. The fitna wasn't so heavy because the crowd wasn't really in. There were fitna, but wasn't so heavy. So I was thinking to myself, in a case like that where a person deliberately goes to a place, he shouldn't say, I'm making shukr that it wasn't so heavy. A person actually make tawbah that I went to a place where there is fitna. So this is what happens when we try and compromise on the Shariat, we try and stretch it. So this is very, very dangerous. There was a Sahabi by the name of Hazrat Zubair radiallahu anhu. He was the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A very great Sahabi. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam had given him Basharat of Jannat in this world. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam had informed him that he will become Shaheed in a battle also. So he was a very great Sahabi. So he had a farm, and his farm was on a higher ground than his neighbor's farm. So when the stream or the river water would come through, then it would pass his farm first because it was on a higher ground, and then it would flow through and go to his neighbor's farm. So what would happen was, Hazrat Zubair radiallahu anhu, as the stream was passing, he would naturally redirect that stream to first water his crops, and then once his crops were watered, now he'll allow the flow to continue to his neighbor's farm. So his neighbor wasn't too happy with the idea that he was redirecting the water, and it was first irrigating his crops and then it was going to irrigate the neighbor's crops. So what they would normally do is, like Sahaba, is whatever they were doing, they would see, is it fitting in the framework of Shariat? We are not sure. Let's take it to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so he can tell us whether what we are doing is fitting in the framework of the Shariat. So they went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and now they presented the case. Allah Ta'ala has made it such that Shariat, and there will be people that will be able to guide us throughout the ages. If Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is not present, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's, those people that have been granted ilm, they are still there, they are still present, and they will be there till the day of Qiyamah. So anyway, they went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam with this dispute. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam told Hazrat Zubair radiallahu anhu, what you do is first take bare minimum. In other words, redirect that stream to your crops, because it's coming to you first. So you take bare minimum, and after taking bare minimum, enough to irrigate your crops, don't take more than that, then immediately thereafter redirect it to your neighbor's farm. So this person wasn't happy with the decision of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In other words, what was the framework of the Shariat? It didn't suit him. He didn't feel comfortable about it. So he made this one statement, and it's recorded in all the major kitabs of hadith. He said, "In kana ibnu ammatik," that because this person is your cousin, therefore you gave this ruling in his favor. So Hazrat Zubair radiallahu anhu mentions that this ayat of the Quran that came down, I feel it was because of this particular incident that Allah Ta'ala says, "Fala wa rabbika la yu'minuna." Allah Pak takes an oath that they are not believers, "Hatta yuhakkimuka fima shajara bainahum," until they reach such a point, such a level, that when you give judgment, O Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you giving judgment to them, so hatta yuhakkimuka fima shajara bainahum, in those matters which they are disputing, thumma la yajidu fi anfusihim harajan mimma qadayta, the first thing that should happen is that after you give judgment, they shouldn't feel any type of reservation in their heart. Why? Because this is what Shariat is, this is what I have to accept. After all, life is such that it is very short. How often we're hearing of mayyats, people are going young and old. So life is short. Fortunately, is that one who makes himself fit in the Shariat, and he is happy to go with what Allah Ta'ala has made permissible. He doesn't come out. So this first part is saying that they don't feel any reservation. That is what Shariat wants us to do. Allah Ta'ala wants us such that we shouldn't be watching television. We are happy. We are not sad about it. This is the decree of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala wants it such that we don't listen to music. We're happy with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala wants it such that men and women should not intermingle freely. We're happy. Allah Pak wants it such that we don't take photographs and we don't get involved in videoing. We are happy with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't find any loopholes. So that's what this ayat is saying. ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ. They don't find any type of reservation in their heart of what decision was given by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then the next part of the ayat, وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا, after not having any reservation, they wholeheartedly submit themselves to what the Sharia expects of them. Now this is what you call a very, very fortunate person. On one occasion, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she had hung a curtain in front of the door of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and this curtain had a picture on it of an animate. Animate means something that has life, like an animal or like a person or anything that has life is called animate. So it had a small picture on this curtain that she had hung there. It had this picture on it. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had come, immediately from his expression she could see that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upset. Why? Because we are not allowed to keep pictures. We are not allowed to take photographs. We are not allowed to keep it. We are not allowed to hang it. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was upset. So immediately Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said these words that, أَتُوبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ مَاذَا أَذْنَبْتُ. That immediately, O Allah, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm making tawbah, I'm turning in repentance to Allah ta'ala and I'm turning in repentance to you. That please inform me, what have I done wrong? Now this is the spirit of a Muslim. Muslim is seeing that, look, I may be off, how can I come back into the framework of the Shariat? How can I fit in? Not that I must fit out and try and make things fit me, but I must fit in the Shariat. Now this is what you call when a person is tabi' to the ahkam of the Shariat. So anyway, she tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this, then Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam explained to her. And this is what Allah ta'ala, we make dua that Allah ta'ala give us these qualities. There was a great woman in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the Banu Dinar clan. So in the battle of Uhud, this woman had lost her brother, she had lost her father, and she had lost her husband in one battle. Hadith it comes, قَدْ أُصِيبَتْ زَوْجُهَا وَأَخُوهَا وَأَبُوهَا. Three people, one shot, became shaheed in the battle. Now when all the Sahaba were returning, there was no WhatsApp, there was no telephone system. As they would return, people would give the news that this is what happened, this is what happened, this is who passed away. So naturally she was awaiting her family like how anybody would await her family. But this is the love that these people had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the love that they had for Deen. So now she's waiting and she's been told that your husband, your father and your brother has passed away in the path of Allah. All three have become shaheed. What was this woman's response? The first words that came out of her mouth was, مَا فَعَلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ. How is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That's my overriding concern, that you, all this message of my husband is there, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, all is there in its place. But I want to know, how is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Can you imagine what love they had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So that she is now told that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is okay, khayran, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is okay, he's well, and he is in a condition that you would like him to be. Now she's not just satisfied with this answer, she tells them that show me where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. So when she is now pointed out that there is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then she says these words further. Kullu after seeing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she says, Kullu musibatin ba'daka jalalun. O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every difficulty after seeing you is easy. Imagine losing three people in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but after seeing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every difficulty is easy. It doesn't matter that my husband has passed away, my brother has passed away, my father has passed away, all the pillars of support that I have has passed away. All this doesn't matter. The thing that matters to me is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is okay. Now when a person has real love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then a person introspects, a person looks into his life and he sees and he thinks that, am I fitting the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How my Nabi did things, am I happy to do it, or am I finding a reservation in my heart that I'm not happy with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Therefore this period of December is coming. So like how last year everyone was saying that a person's life is important and a person should be careful, like that we should always think our iman is important. That there should be nothing that can affect my iman. I shouldn't be going to these places, especially the holiday period, these places where my iman is going to get affected more than this physical body is this iman. Why? It's because this physical body comes to an end at some point. Give it a few years, therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-kayyisu man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'd al-maut. An intelligent person is who? He's not that person with the most amount of degrees, with the most amount of investments, with the most amount of properties, or the most amount of wealth. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that intelligent person is the one who puts his nafs down. For those haram things, he's able to subdue his nafs. Wa amila lima ba'd al-maut. And he's making effort for that life, which is the real life. The everlasting life, the most enjoyable life, the life of akhirat. Everything of this dunya, he is careful. I must fit within the framework of the Shariat. Why? Because there's the everlasting life that's going to come. That is the most enjoyable life. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that who is the most foolish person? وَالْعَاجِزُ مَنْ أَتْبَعَ نَفْسَهُ هَوَاهَا وَتَمَنَّى عَلَى اللَّهِ. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is explaining the most foolish person is that person that just follows his nafs. Nafs says do this, he does it. Nafs says get involved in haram, he's getting involved in haram. Nafs saying he's saying cheat, he cheats. He's bringing his staff down, bringing his neighbors down. The person is bringing his customers down, bringing his suppliers down. Whatever his nafs is telling him, he's doing it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that the person that does this, and he tells himself that Allah ta'ala is Ghafoor Rahim. You get people that talk like that. Allah Ta'ala is Ghafoor Rahim. It doesn't matter what we do. Allah will forgive all the sins. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying that this is the most foolish person. This person that thinks that Allah Ta'ala is Ghafoor Rahim and he goes and does all the wrong things. May Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of protecting this iman I was mentioning, that this body comes to an end, but the iman continues with the person in the akhirat. And this is the thing, passport, that will help a person when his eyes close. Therefore we should protect this thing and ensure that we are always within the framework of the Shariat. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.